Hey everyone, welcome to the sit in your PJs, grab a cup of coffee, Sunday home message. I just want to pray with you guys, and then I'm going to share kind of a quick message that the Lord gave me this week. So here we go. Father, although we are apart physically, Lord, we are together in spirit. We come together to worship you today, to call out to you, and Lord God, to hear from you. Lord, calm our hearts and our minds. Give us peace. Give us healing. I pray that the Holy Spirit comes and just does a miraculous work here and now. Oh Spirit, knit our souls together. Connect us as if we were in the very same room together. Lord Jesus, provide us our pathways and our directions, and lead us in your ways. Teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to begin with this. The Roman Emperor Constantine was looking at a coin one day, and he noticed the picture on the coin was another emperor, and this emperor had made the coin and distributed it. And the coin showed that emperor standing in this victorious, triumphant pose. And Constantine looked at the coin, and then he decided to have his own image made onto some Roman coins and distributed. But Constantine ordered that his image be made kneeling in prayer. And he said this, "This is the way in which I have triumphed." It's in prayer that we as believers truly find our power source. There's arguably no greater thing that we can engage in. And so, to continue on with last week's message, we're going to keep looking at prayer. You know, prayer is one of these things that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. They didn't ask him to teach them, to multiply fish and bread, or how to raise the dead, but no, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Why did they do that? Because they saw in Jesus' life something that was centered around prayer, and that they recognized as prayer in his life was the very engine that was pushing him forward, that was propelling him. It was all about his intimate connection with God the Father. And they desired to have that same connection as well. They desired to have that ability to communicate with the Father just like Jesus did. And so they asked him to teach us how to pray. Prayer has this ability to change the trajectory of our relationships as we learn through prayer. As we learn to love, to forgive, to find peace, to experience joy, to work through tragedy, prayer needs to be foremost in our lives. And I'm learning this on many levels, is right now, there's little many of us can do but to pray, right? And I look at this time as an opportunity to dive into prayer, to focus on it, to bring God all that we have, everything that's on my mind, and then expect to see him come back and return and answer. Prayer is so important in following Jesus that prayer even comes before reading the Bible, before even keeping the Sabbath, before going to church on Sunday, or now listening to a sermon on Sunday morning and dedicating time to him. I mean, don't get me wrong. These things are imperative. They're essential. But they are not as vitally important as prayer between me and my Creator. And it's in prayer that we actually come to salvation in Christ. There's no other way but reaching out to God, crying out to him in our deepest desires, in our deepest wants, in our lost sinfulness, in our sadness, in our despair, in our pain, in our anxiety, It's through prayer that our relationship with Jesus begins and continues. It's through prayer that we find forgiveness and redemption in the work of Jesus Christ. So obviously, it's extremely important in God's eyes, prayer. And that's why I want to focus on that today, because it's crucial in God's eyes, but it is absolutely vital in our life. So what I want to look at is prayer as vitality. Prayer is the reason that we live and grow as followers of Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you, I ask that you would please open up to Psalm 84. So Psalm 84, you know, the Psalms, they are the prayer book of the Bible. They are just a collection of prayers that are arranged in this poetic and musical way, full of great examples of how to pray. They're full of this imagery that we find in wonder, with the intention of expressing the human condition to the Creator of the universe. And as I said, I want to look at prayers as vitality. Vitality being our capacity within us to continue in a meaningful existence. As I said, the capacity to live and to grow, to actually thrive. That is the purpose of prayer in our lives. Not just to ask God for things or to enter into just some monologue with yourself or some chant, you know, but it's to engage fully with God on every level of our emotions, of our intellect, as we just come to God with everything that we have. So here's what I want to do. I want us together to read this prayer, and then I want you to let the words enter into your mind. I want you to see the pictures that the guy who's saying the prayer sees in his mind. I want you to feel what the writer feels as he's expressing himself to God. And I'm going to read this kind of different than we've done before. I'm not going to read all of Psalm 84, but I'm going to read it as it's kind of written out. And what I'm going to do is read down to the point where you see the word Selah, which means pause. And there are two pauses in this prayer, which basically breaks this prayer down into three sections. So I'm going to read, and then once we get to the first pause, we'll kind of talk about that section and then move on. Because they're meant to be read and stop and think about it. Let it sink in and then move on. So I want us to think about and see how prayer is vitality. Let's start. Starting with verse 1. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. Before the rain came this morning, I don't know if you can hear it right now, but it's coming down again. But before it came this morning, I was laying in bed and I could hear the birds outside calling. The robins have returned. They're bouncing along the still yellow grass outside with a promise attached to them that spring is coming. With the singing of the birds, with their fluttering from branch to branch, there is a promise that is in the air. There is a hope that is in the air that spring is coming. The songs of the birds will eventually lead way to flowers coming up, the lush green hillsides as I look across the valley from my house, colors of the early yellow forsythia and the red poppies, and then the buds on the fruit trees, the anticipation that blooms are going to come and that fruit will be produced from a once frozen world. Did you catch how in that psalm, in those first few verses, how the writer speaks of a bird, comparing himself to the birds, seeing a place to dwell, finding a safe place to look out from, to look out into uncertainty and to find a refuge from the dangers of the unknown. See, he's telling God that he trusts in him completely. He even goes so far as to say in verse 3, even in your altars. An altar was a place where sacrifices would be made to atone for the people's sins. And birds were a common offering. So if you can imagine a bird making a nest in a place where birds are commonly sacrificed, we would think that's not the smartest place to make a nest. But you find there's a play on words there. There's an image that he's trying to develop, because in the prayer, the writer is saying that no matter where I am, no matter the danger that I'm in, no matter what surrounds me, if I have found my home, if I have found my dwelling place in God, it does not matter, because I am in the safest place in all the world. Now, this doesn't make sense to most of the world if they hear this, but this is the reality for the Christian, and a very important reality, because where is God's dwelling place? Where do we have to go to find God, right? Is God's dwelling place in heaven? Yeah, it is. How about right here on earth? It's God's dwelling place here on earth. Yes, it's here also. See, God's dwelling place is everywhere. He is here with me now as I give you this message, sitting alone. He is also with you where you are. But this prayer looks to God and it says, no matter what the situation, no matter where I am, even if I am in the middle of a storm of uncertainty and chaos, it doesn't matter, because I'm in the safest place I can be, because God is with me and I am in Him. See, the imagery of the bird making a nest is this image that should bring to you the thought of spring, as birds start making their nest in the spring to prepare for their young. It's the promise of something better yet to come as we think of the birds and springtime and just the excitement of summer that's to come, right? It's a promise, though, of something yet to come, speaking of an eternal life. Eternal life that's found in Jesus alone. And that is a true life. That is true vitality. So just think about that. How lovely are your dwelling places, Lord. His dwelling place is everywhere. It's where each of us are right now. It's good because the Lord is there. No other reason than that. And blessed are those who dwell in your house. Do you want to experience peace in unsettling times? I can tell you that it's not found in hoarding all the sanitizer and toilet paper in the store, which thank you very much if you have done that, because I've been searching all week for toilet paper. But actual blessings and peace are found in a relationship with Jesus. So let's look at the next section, verses 5 through 8. How blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. So now, the prayer looks at life as a journey. the writer is recognizing that in this journey, we have a purpose and there is a meaning behind it. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And the prayer is saying that there is one road, a highway, if you will, that leads to God. And there is no promise attached to that, that that highway is going to be smooth. See, Zion, which was the goal here, the destination, was the city of David. And Zion is often referred to in this way that it's a reflection of the image of heaven, is what they're trying to convey. It is our resting place with God, our final destination. So on this highway, right, speeding toward this destination, he says, passing through the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca was this passageway. It was through this void desert land, this waterless area. Okay, they had to pass through that to get to the city of David. And the word Baca means weeping. So clearly the prayer here is saying that we are going to go through difficult times. But look what it says. Passing through, they make it a spring. Interesting. Interesting how their passing through the valley actually brings life in the valley. And then it says the early rain covers. The early rain. Okay, so this should bring yet again an image of springtime to your mind. The early rain covers it with blessings. See, what's needed to bring the flowers, to bring the lush green vitality back to our land after wintertime? What's needed to sustain the birds, to get the worms growing, to get the bugs moving, to bring things back to life, to bring green? Rain is needed. And so the prayer is, I find peace and comfort in trials because these are on my way to God, my final destination. And on that path, when I encounter uncertainty and when I encounter difficult times, the path is not going to change direction, you know, going through it. My walk with God is not lessened in the trial. In fact, it's just the opposite. My walk with God is now deepened. And going through the valley is essential to bringing the rain, which brings growth and vitality. It actually brings strength. And as it says, from strength to strength we go. You see, this is a promise of advancement. This is a pilgrim's march to the promised land. So just pause and take that in. There are blessings in life that appear not to be blessings. And we grow stronger and we have a more direct connection to God by going through life's obstacles, not avoiding them. Finally, the last section of prayer, verses 9 through 12. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. So, experiencing life and reaching the goal of everlasting life with King Jesus means that we will go through difficult times. But hear the writer. Here's what he says. The only way that I can do this, the only way that I can push forward and get through this, is if I have my eyes fixed on my God and I know that he's on my side and that he is in fact a shield to me. a defense who stops all kinds of attacks, whether it be close up personal or far away attacks. The shield of the Lord is in front of me if I place my trust in Him. And he's essentially saying that if we trust in the Lord, we will not live one day longer than He has planned for us. Our trust is completely placed on Him, on the defense that He has. And that one day of difficulty, of going through the valley, on our way to this final destination, is better, is actually better than 1,000 days of like lounging on the beach without any direction or care in the world. Because it's not of significance. It's not growing you. It's not vitality in your life. Because sooner or later we will enter a valley, each one of us. The rain is going to come and it's going to produce growth if we choose to see it that way. Difficulty comes and trusting in God as our shield. But the writer says he's not just our shield though. He's our shield and our sun as well. Okay, so he's protection and light. So think about it again. What's needed for your garden in the springtime, in the early summer to grow? After it's established, after it's planted, after it's made its way through that beginning frosty, threat of spring, right? And the rains have come now to soak the land. What's the final part that's needed? You see how this prayer, it keeps going back, keeps reverting back to this idea of spring. It's always speaking about looking ahead. Is ultimately what's needed? The sun. The sun streams down. The sun warms the earth. The sun brings these seeds to life, once dormant, once laying under the ground with no sign of life. Through this process, in the very care of God, they come to life. By His grace and His glory, He takes us through this life, through ups, through downs, through periods of song, through periods of weeping. See, this prayer is celebrating the Creator. It's about handing over all parts of our life to Him, giving Him our lives, our ways, our battles. It's about understanding that on this road, it's not going to be smooth. We're not promised a sickness-free life, but we are promised blessings in the midst of it. But strength to continue is found in the Lord. The promise exists that spring is coming. Songs will be sung, if not now, then later. Peace will come. We have a home waiting for us in heaven, and we are blessed to know this. Prayer is an essential part of our walk. It's essential to understanding God's character. And it's actually essential in understanding our own character, as prayer oftentimes reveals to us who we are through our dialogue with God. And what I pray this week, guys, is that we can pray as the writer has done here, that we can look at ourselves, that we can see ourselves through lenses of creation, through these different lenses, like as birds in the hands of the Father, that He has a plan, that He has a plan for each one of us, and that He will be with us every step of the way and see it to completion as He watches over us, as He's there, as we go from strength to strength. So I ask you, find time to pray today. It's important. It's vitally important. Find time to pray alone. Find time to pray with your family. Ask people that you talk to if you can pray for them. and then gladly receive the prayers of others for yourself. It's in this that we grow. It's in this, in these times, these difficult, uncertain times, that we actually walk through that valley together. And then on the other side, we will experience the rain and then the sun and the growth and the enjoyment of a life lived for Jesus Christ. Have a great week. Stay safe. Love you guys. Love up and love out. And I want to just close with a prayer from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.